Okay, so this is the discussion on July to August 2011, and I'm Pamela Cuccinello. We're talking about the astrology phenomena happening now and the effects it's having on us and the world. And we've just come through this tunnel of eclipses that happened over the summer, the last one happening July 1st, which was a new moon. And at the time of this discussion, the date is July 21st. Usually I do these earlier in the month, but it's summer and the month got away from me a little. But one thing I do want to touch on was we had the full moon in Aquarius on the 15th. And even though that wasn't an eclipse, because we did have three eclipses this summer, it was a, oh, it wasn't in Aquarius, I'm sorry, it was the full moon in Capricorn. The position being in Capricorn was, it wasn't touching, like Pluto is at early degrees Capricorn, so it certainly wasn't affecting that. But with Saturn in, like, it's around, at the time, I think it was about 18, let me just double check. Oh no, it was about 12 Libra. So it's sweeping in that, and it's just activating this energetic cardinal axis that's occurring, and also the United States chart. It had a very big effect on. So for people who live in the United States or are affected by U.S. policy, this particular full moon was a very dynamic configuration, triggering a lot of the action that we're seeing right now that's going on in the government, the back and forth, trying to posturing about the position with the debt ceiling. And as we go forward into August 2nd, which is the date, the cutoff date of this debt ceiling, it's either going to be raised or America as a nation, the United States rather as a nation, is going to have to default. August 2nd is when Mercury goes retrograde. So whatever decision gets made at this point in time, of course they're all doing the zero-hour piece, whatever decision gets made for that Mercury retrograde point on August 2nd, we know that there's going to be back-and-forth action that occurs, because right now, any decisions that you are making with us being in the shadow of the retrograde, what we mean when we say that is that right now where Mercury is in the sky is going to be reconsidered when Mercury goes retrograde. So Mercury is actually going to appear to go backwards to the point where it is now before it goes forward again. So that's what we mean by being in the shadow. So it's direct still at this point in time, but because we're in the shadow, it's really important to start to put in place anything that you want to make firm before it goes retrograde. So if you have to sign a contract, you certainly want to do it before the second. Excuse me. Any appointments that you make at this time, or plane flights or travel, that's all things that, because we're in the shadow, you have to really consider how it's done and know that you have some wiggle room in case things don't go forward the way you might like. So a lot of people feel as though Mercury is already in retrograde when we're in shadow energy, especially if they're a Gemini or have a strong Mercury position. When Mercury goes retrograde right now, excuse me, right now it's in the sign of Leo, and when it goes retrograde, it will retrograde in Virgo and then go back to the sign of Leo. So this, when it is retrograde, it's probably going to be particularly unsettling for Virgos or people with strong Earth positions, because especially if their Mercury is in an Earth sign, which you may or may not know, but that would be Capricorn, Taurus, or Virgo. Because when it goes retrograde in an Earth sign, there's this sense of like things are like you put the chair on sand, and you're trying to write with a piece of paper on sand. It's nothing is coming into the clarity that you would like, and you feel as though there's some structure to it, but it has no firmness. And so when Mercury goes retrograde in an Earth sign, it's a sense that we thought it was real, we thought it was conceptualized, we thought it was brought to pass, and yet it's not taking shape. So any way you can get these things in shape as best you can before August, the better. And I suggest that to our governing bodies as well, but of course they aren't listening to astrologers.
The United States chart, Mercury is in an Earth sign, or I know my Mercury is in Capricorn, so but what about the United States chart?
Your Mercury is in Capricorn, yes. So for you, it's, you definitely, not a speculative time, that's definitely for sure. Now, question was, I'm pulling up the United States chart right now, which it's good you asked, because as I was talking, I was thinking, oh, I would like to open that horoscope and have it in front of me. I know it fairly well, but I can't answer a question about what sign Mercury is in. I believe it's in Mercury is in Cancer, and it's retrograde. How could I forget that? So Mercury is retrograde in the United States chart, which, considering the retrograde coming up, actually, that's a very interesting question. When Mercury's retrograde and someone's born with a retrograde planet, and in the case of the United States, it certainly is, then, in a way, things work better. So, I mean, when I realized that the debt ceiling deadline was when Mercury went retrograde, I thought, well, that's a case of there are no accidents. But it's also fascinating when I'm considering now that Mercury is retrograde in the United States chart, because I think that actually that's a good sign for this, because it's going to be a real time of reevaluation. I mean, one of the things really talks a little about this is that with this whole negotiation piece, some very prominent Republicans and people like David Brooks, who is considered a conservative writer on finance, was saying that he felt that the Republican Party would rue the fact that they had pretty much stepped away from the original proposal that President Obama suggested, with reevaluating some of the, quote, entitlement programs like Medicare and Social Security. Since that was not accepted, which on one hand, people of a strong Republican persuasion were thinking, why did they refuse to negotiate with that, because that will probably never be offered again. So now that we're going into Mercury retrograde with this decision looming, and it seems to speak about really a consideration of policies. So whatever gets decided will be something that will be looked at very carefully in ways that have to do, perhaps, she said with great optimism, perhaps with more of an attachment and consideration with what really makes sense for the government as it was formed.
Obama didn't really make any specific budget proposals vis-a-vis the Social Security and Medicare. He might have proffered that, you know, we should deal in larger terms with this, but he didn't say anything specific. And I think that was one of the reasons that the Republicans, at this late date, if they had brought it up 3 months ago, and they could have gotten into it. But that's something that's very difficult to deal with over a period of, 10 days.
Right. No, no, he didn't come up with anything specific. But he did.
I mean, it's something that's almost like a political gesture to make the Republicans look bad that they didn't take it up on, rather than if he had any real desire to see this implemented. Obviously, knowing politics, it should have been initiated and specified into a plan and a budget. With enough time that it could have been sufficiently analyzed and debated.
Right, but on the other hand, not get too heavily into politics, but from what I understand, he's the person who's like the head guy, but the Congress is the one that's supposed to put together these proposals and come up with it, so he can suggest it. But
well, the president actually needs to take the lead in something like that, whether it's the head of the state. Giuliani was talking about this. He always came up with a budget, and then the Congress if he had a conviction. Now, apparently, Obama has chosen not to take a leadership position, probably for, political reasons, because he didn't want to appear vulnerable in an election tackling reductions in the sacred cows of Social Security and Medicare, which is very unpopular with 58% of the, polled populace.
Right. Well, I think there's that, and I think that one could also argue that this just isn't his strength. So, it's we continue to put people in power who are lawyers, not business people, not people who really understand finance that well. And whether that's a good or a bad thing, it simply is that I don't know that any of these guys that we've had for the past 5 or 4 times really understand finance. You know, they'll be advised, they get up there and they say stuff,
but
I don't know if it's really any of their strengths. I don't know. But back to talking about the U.S. horoscope, and something that I've been saying for a while is with the Pluto having gone into Capricorn and working its way for the Pluto return that we're going to have as a nation in another 13 or 15 years. But when I look at that in lieu of the Mercury retrograde and the death ceiling, and my sense is that this is another like deepening of the opportunity to come back and say, okay, well, everybody's running around screaming, well, our founding fathers wanted this and they wanted that, but is anybody really paying attention to how the country was originally come together and forged? And so this is looking at it in a way of, well, yeah, these are sacred cows. We have created them. They are there. They certainly were never part of the original intent, and yet perhaps in a way they were, but people weren't really seeing that far ahead. They were creating something that hadn't been created before. And I don't know that any of them really thought that it was just going to be like written in stone and that's the way it was going to be for hundreds and hundreds of years. I think that, you know, I think that they were men who believed that this was the way to fashion it today. And you have to look at government when it becomes this juggernaut that isn't working anymore, because that's what they were all running from.
Right.
So Mercury retrograde in the United States chart is it's an opportunity to go back and reevaluate. But as we look at these big machines and how these people come into power and try to work things, and nothing is moving quickly at all. However, the heavens are, and the heavens are showing that there are big shifts that are occurring in spite of, so this full moon that I was talking about when I got off onto the United States chart, the full moon really was highlighting this whole discussion area and bringing up like working back and forth on what the United States is, now that I'm looking at it, has this Mercury-Pluto opposition. So that was brought up, and what are we getting into? I mean, this endless discussion that's all about power and the people and what the people want, and the everyday man as opposed to the corporations. Well, Mercury is like your little neighborhood, the everyday man, and Pluto is the big corporate structure that wants things to move a certain way. And how do you get those two forces, not necessarily to reconcile, but to be in balance, which they are not now? So it's all very unwieldy, and it's all very manipulated with the way, as we began, you know, the conversation talking a little about finances. I mean, the stock market is not really as, what's the word I want? It's not really as open or as malleable as one might think. It is highly controlled. And whether it goes up or down or what happens with it is not really something that the average person has much of an ability to understand or manipulate or really work with, because, again, of this imbalance in how the structure seems to work or should work. So as we're in this period of time, right now is it's a good period to be initiating something or starting something, and that goes through tomorrow, Friday. The weekend, Leo enters the Sun rather enters the sign of Leo, and that begins the party circuit for the summer. And with it, we're moving into a fixed sign, which is what Leo is, then we're getting into areas where we're not going to have necessarily the same cardinal stresses that we were undergoing when the sun was in the sign of Cancer, except when the moon changes signs. So when I look into the season of Leo, like next week, I would say that Tuesday the 26th through the 27th, those are good days for action, activity, getting results. Then the 29th is the day before the new moon in Leo. The 29th, therefore, would be a very good day for, and the other thing about this particular day on the 29th is the moon is void, of course, all day. So Have you noticed how these long void of course days that we've been having this summer, are those things that you feel affected by? Are you aware of them?
Well, I'm aware of them because you have made me aware of them through the, the astro chatter and the the daily forecast. So, and it's very interesting. You had that one week there where it was void of course almost all week.
Yeah.
And it made me take a different tack on life. And it's interesting, you know. It's, oh, okay, today I have to, can't initiate anything. So, but it there's always plenty of work to do in the background if you have, and knowing that the moon is void, of course, gives you a permission slip to get into that background organizational work, which is really, you know, crucial to,
right.
You know, to forward progress, because you can't just be going forward all the time and initiating stuff without, shuffling the papers around and getting the I's and the T's dotted and crossed. I've kind of enjoyed that aspect of it, and I take it pretty serious.
That's good. Yeah. That's the best way to utilize it. It's my husband actually has finally started to pay more attention to void of course, but he still oftentimes doesn't realize until after the fact. So he'll do things like schedule a bunch of deliveries in the city, and he'll call me up frantically and say, "Is the moon void of course?" And I say, "Yeah, how's it going?" "Oh, I couldn't get into that building, and I couldn't find parking over there." And so you're absolutely right. A wonderful way to use it is just to kind of schedule more downtime or passive energy where you're
right.
Not like you're doing nothing, but you're doing things that are constructive.
What gets you in trouble.
Yeah. So anyway, the void, of course, the 29th, is the day before the new moon in Leo. So that's a really good day to, as you say, organize and just clear your desk. But also, always the day before the new moon is a wonderful time to reflect on what it is you want to bring about or focus on with the coming into the new moon energy. And in Leo, it's wonderful for creativity and for opening up into things that have to do with self-expression. So it can be giving yourself pieces that, and this may not feel like, something a Capricorn necessarily thinks about, but giving yourself pieces that allow yourself some play. And play actually is very useful for someone to feel regenerated. If we're in a period where we're kind of, we feel very dry and we feel as though they're, our options are getting narrow. And maybe we're thinking in terms of one way of doing things, or one way of perhaps generating income, or being able to realize a certain dream, and that's just not panning out in the ways we would like or where we want to go with it, then we can think in terms of, what would be like a way we can open up a door here, or bring in a fresh perspective, or what was it that really started the passion on this particular project to begin with? So it's a way of reigniting the passion, going back and saying, this is something I love to do. It's right now it seems to be at an economic standstill, or perhaps it is about a love affair for some people. Perhaps it is about a marriage that's gone on to a certain point where it's like, oh my God, you know, this person is so familiar, and yet, you know, why am I really here? So something in your life that you want to revisit, reignite, charge up, see in a way that's playful or fun or gives you a sense of excitement. And that's what Leo energy really loves to wake up and play with and do. So for anyone who's thinking in terms of something that they feel they have to do, and it no longer, and they remember this was something that they loved to do, but they aren't feeling that love, then it's a great time to speak to that and look at it. And the Fabian symbol for this particular new moon is a Bolshevik propagandist, which really cracks me up, because it seems like it's a very fierce image for what I've just talked about, this kind of playful, creative, perpetual child energy. But that's the kind of focus or resolution you might want to put to awakening that passion, with that, like, a revolution must happen. Something has to really, it's back to what I was saying earlier about the United States chart. This nation was formed by men who just basically said, you know, it's time to create, not a utopia. They were realists. They knew they weren't creating a utopia, but they knew that they needed to create something that fit them better. So this is an opportunity, this new moon, this cycle that we're entering into, to look at the dream and say, okay, well, what needs to be turned on its head so that we're able to really make perhaps a utopia, or something that is more in line, fits better, whatever the original vision or childlike stimulation, inspiration springs from. So, and it's that level of warrior commitment with the Bolshevik picture, where it's like, this must happen, and it's very organic. It comes from the common man, the sense of this is something that we deserve to have. Going back to that power and everyday people access.
Well, this is 100% true. I mean, and it looks like it's, you know, it's not going to happen from the government and any of the Republicans or the Democrats going back and forth.
They're all scared, and they all, you know, they have their jobs.
Right, exactly. It's their job, so they have to, you know, try to sustain the system. But as you said before, it's become a juggernaut, a behemoth that is too grand, and it doesn't serve the common man any longer. It does preserve their jobs, and it doesn't prosper the people. So and revolution on that level, and definitely I can relate to the need for a revolution in my own life. And actually, the being that the shadow of Mercury retrograde has cast its somber pall over, you know, until right now, I could see areas where I could almost start that process of right of looking at the trying to inject a new vision that would incorporate fun and excitement and play into activities that have, you know, grown stale or something.
Right, right, absolutely, absolutely, and it's also, I mean, not that older people can't be vital in this huge movement. It starts with each and every one of us, of course, individuals, but I truly believe that a great force of young people are going to be what demands the big
change. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah.
Because, you know, they start talking about things like, oh, well, everybody under 50 isn't going to get the same benefits with Social Security. Well, you know, you look at somebody who's been putting money in for 30 years and you tell them that, and it's going to ignite people.
Right.
So that's, and then a lot of these young people are just what they have with being able to communicate through the internet is just very, very quick, and so the revolution is not necessarily, you know, I certainly hope not, a bunch of guns and people fighting.
No, right.
But it will be a real switch.
Right. Well, that's necessary. That's what's needed. You know, and I think it's going to come. Hopefully, it does. Just before we leave the subject, do you have any astrological insight what might happen as far as in the next, you know, by August 2nd, any resolution or any? What's going to happen in the political arena?
Oh, with the
debt crisis, debt ceiling, and any changes that compromises it might be.
Right.
The debt ceiling. Do you think that's just going to be a problem, or do you think it's going to?
I think that they are going to come to an agreement. Because I think as crazy as they all are.
Yeah, I mean, that would, obviously, that would be the most practical thing for them to come to an agreement with.
Yeah, but as crazy as they all are, they are very aware that if we as a nation default, it's not going to get better.
No, it's going to create more problems. No.
And they also are aware that, I mean, we look at how this all happens. It's first you see the microcosms with individuals that overextend and go into default, and interest rates rises, and banks get frozen, and nobody, and now, you know, our government, the same thing. You know, if we default, China, the nation we apparently owe the most money to, are they going to say, oh, that's all right, pay us back when you can? So whatever interest rate we're paying it back now, it's going to quadruple.
Yeah.
And you know, our money is going to become worthless. It's just absurd. It's just this absurd dance that they're pulling. And as crazy as they are, they can't do that because nobody will win. So they will come to some kind of agreement, but I still, you know, it's just, not to digress too much on this because this is something else that I'm talking about on the webinar I'll do in September, but 2008 election went a certain way. The 2012 election is the one that is very, very telling for where we are going and what's going to happen with that. So as we sweep into this next section, so much hinges on the decisions that get made and majorly where things are going to turn and go. But are things going to magically get better financially in the next year and a half? Probably not. I mean, there's going to be sweeps and increases. And one thing I do want to talk about with finance is that the planet Jupiter, which is now in the sign of Taurus, and a lot of people were getting very excited, some astrologers, when Jupiter went into Taurus. And I am actually a very optimistic and positive seer, the way I look at things. But I didn't see Jupiter entering Taurus as being this magic bullet for finances to suddenly get robust, because there's far too many other things going on. Jupiter in Taurus is good for certain reasons, absolutely. Somebody is always going to profit, no matter where situations are at. But that little planet by itself, which changes signs every year, can't compete with the outer planet action in the sky. That being said, right now, as we move into the month of August, Jupiter is still in Taurus, it's still direct. It goes retrograde the end of the month.
August.
So that's August 30th.
Okay.
So when Jupiter is retrograde, that is a very challenging time to start a business project, to get involved with real estate ventures, to do anything that has to do with a new contract or position in that way. And it's retrograde for a while. It's retrograde through, let me just double check this, through December. It goes direct Christmas Day, Jupiter.
Wow.
So
August 2nd right through the end of the year, forget about it, right, as far as initiating anything is concerned?
You can look for good days. You definitely can look for good days. I would not start a business, depending on what that business was, with Jupiter retrograde. And a real estate thing, as I look at this with all the Fannie Mae, Freddie Mac things coming up and all the arguments, discussions about all of that and mortgages and foreclosures, I would say that this period, especially once it goes retrograde, that's when they're going to go back and look at all the foreclosures that haven't happened yet, because a lot of these foreclosures have been on hold.
Yeah, right.
Banks just can't keep up with all the paperwork. So that's going to be when there's more reckoning time over that period, and I don't see that as being a robust time for the economy.
I agree.
With reservation. It depends on the particular type of business. Certain things are going to do okay or better. But in the sign of Taurus, Jupiter, Taurus is about, it's certainly about real estate. It's about jewelry, things that people buy because they feel it has some sort of lasting value. And so people are going to be holding on to things that they have. And the desire to speculate is not going to be high. So I would really recommend for anyone who is thinking about investing or reaching out in that kind of capacity to make some judicious decisions over the next week. Know that when Mercury is going retrograde, that's a period when you certainly need to watch what's going on with any investment or contract. I mean, people do get into things at that point in time, but certainly not communication industries, anything with electronics. Those are not things that you want to play around with, travel. And then once Jupiter comes retrograde, it's more of a hunkering down period. It's a great time, honestly, for people to reevaluate, reflect on what they have, to go back into something. So if someone does own real estate, to say, okay, well, what can I do to make this a better product? Or so it may be a good time to go back to some sort of renovation, but it would have to be something that was already in place, because the whole retrograde piece, we don't usually begin something like with this fresh point of view or construction point of view when it's retrograde, because if we do that, then there's something else that we have to go deeper into. Not necessarily a terrible thing, but depending on the business, it could cost more than you want it to cost. So I, just looking at the United States economy in lieu of the retrograde with Taurus, the Jupiter retrograde with Taurus, that's going to be going retrograde through the fifth house in the United States chart, which has to do with children. It has to do with speculation.
Right.
It has to do with any way that we gamble or take risks. So I would say that people are going to be very conservative. And whatever happens with this debt ceiling decision, certain things that are put into place, what I was reading just shortly before I got on the call, apparently what Boehner and Obama are talking about is, let me see if I got this right, to eradicate loopholes, bring taxes down somewhat. But of course, if they eradicate loopholes, that's not bringing taxes down for corporations. That's actually creating taxes that they haven't paid before. So if they come to that kind of agreement, then what ends up happening is the corporations, of course, are going to pull back somewhat to reevaluate, not necessarily because it's really going to kick them in the butt, but because they're going to say, okay, well, you know, we can't use that as a shelter as we have in the past, so we have to do this and we have to do that. I mean, the bottom line is these corporations want to make money. So it's unrealistic to say that they aren't going to hire people or do technology if that's how they feel they're going to make money. Whether they're paying more tax on that doesn't really affect their decisions if it's going to make them money. What it does mean is that they have to decide what is going to make us more money. And that is the reevaluation going back in, and okay, so we're not making more money if we take this and that and the other thing as a shelter, but we have to make more money, so how are we going to do it?
Well, they could decide to take their business overseas, which they do. You know?
I honestly don't think that, I mean, the companies that are already doing that are doing that. I don't know that that would affect the companies that hire in the States. And actually, if they get rid of some of these loopholes, that is a huge loophole.
Oh, that's a good thing. It's a good thing to do. That's
a big loophole. You know, it's a huge loophole.
Yeah.
The people who, corporations who employ people outside the country basically are not paying their fair share. If you tax them, if they're taking their business outside the country, well, then, you know, that makes them have to evaluate in a different way. So, but I, you know, I'm not pretending to know what they're finally going to decide to do, but I do think that it will initially have a chilling effect, just based on the retrograde Jupiter. Once Jupiter goes direct, which will, and now I'm, you know, I'm forecasting much farther ahead than
right.
I used to do on these calls.
Right.
But once it goes direct Christmas Day, then it's going to be flying through the fifth house and probably bring in a much more robust 2012.
Does it stay in the fifth house to the 2012?
I'm not so sure about that, but I can tell you in a second. Let me open my book. Does it stay in 2012 for the big day? I'm actually writing about that now. The big day of end of December. And memory not being quite what it used to be. Let me double check. No, Jupiter has gone into Gemini. It actually will go into Gemini mid-year. So it moves by June. It goes into Gemini 2012. But that will be a six-month period of really pushing in a direction that should benefit well. I mean, one of the things about this whole government structure, of course, is that whatever happens during, I mean, not that we necessarily, I mean, today sitting here, I'm not going to say to you, oh, I really want Obama to be president in 2012. I don't know what I want, you know. I have to wait to see. But I do know one thing, that how the economy is 3 months before the election is what matters most. What happened the 3 years and 9 months before that, 3 months before the election, doesn't matter as much. What the American people seem to care most about is where is the economy a few months before they vote. So,
yeah.
So anyway, looking more in August. Yes, so just to talk strategically, August is a very, very good month for really getting focused in, as I said, that kind of creative play on how am I going to move in a way that my passion is able to bring in things that create more joy, create more things that multiply and provide. When I use the word pleasure, I don't mean just a like sensual existence, although that's nice too. But I mean pleasure in that the pleasure of a day, like a child has. I mean, children are very much in the moment, and as we reflect in kind of a Buddhist way of thinking, it's the present is so very important and has a very direct effect on what happens in our future. So the more we can appreciate and work with the day, and in its essence, that's what the daily astrology tries to do, is to just say, okay, here's the day. We know we have this day. What's the best way we can operate this day So that domino effect is just pulling into what comes ahead of us. And ahead of us, as we're looking into August, is a month of pulling things together and planning for a period that's going to be more insular in a way. Where,
exactly. I don't mean to interrupt, but Edgar Cayce said the same thing in a recent channeling, that's the best way to deal. Always, it's always been that way, but I mean, now even more so, is to deal with just being totally into the present. It's the best way to deal with what he calls the contraction of time. You know, we don't have enough time to do everything we want to do, and the only way we can do it is actually getting into the present moment. And so you kind of nailed the same thing that Edgar Cayce is saying from the other side.
So who was channeling Edgar Cayce?
Better Hansen.
Oh, okay. All right. Wow, that's excellent.
Yeah, so you're saying the same thing that he was saying. And he said, that's the main thing right now. That's the only, and it really makes a lot of sense.
Right. And
actually, to take that retrograde time to make that adjustment of getting into the present, and is the revolution that we need as individuals to be able to deal with our own lives.
Excellent. That's a good way to tie in that revolution piece. So the last thing I want to talk about is, where is it? Oh, right. So in August, I'm just looking to make sure I've got all the phenomena I wanted to talk about for August. Right, we've got more void of course days in August that we know how to use to their our best advantage. And then the other piece is that the full moon occurs in Aquarius, that's the Aquarius full moon, on August 13th. And the points, the Sabian symbol points, are a woman disappointed and disillusioned. That's the point for the moon in Aquarius. And then the point for the sun, which I love, is chickens intoxicated.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, it's just, to me, it's just such a wild combination. The woman disappointed and disillusioned, and the chickens intoxicated. And it could bring up so many things. I mean, at first
right.
I was thinking about, like, almost cartoons, and I was also thinking about just the poignancy of the woman disappointed and disillusioned, conjuring up Ceres, the goddess of the harvest, and what's going on with our food sources, and chickens are one of the many food supplies that are just full of all kinds of things that we really don't want to eat and put in our body. But it also is a time where we want to look at how we can, what is it? I'm just glancing at my notes again. It's how can we sober up? What
yeah.
is the way that, because chickens also, it's like Chicken Little running around, the sky
right.
is falling. So when we become intoxicated with the fear, then we are unable to move forward. And that's so much of what's happening now, everything we read, what's on the news. I have clients who, and also, I know friends who are quote doomers, who just really believe that the world is poisoned and we're all going to die, and so they aren't really the Armageddon followers. I mean, they wouldn't say that because these are scientific-minded people, but they're just looking at everything around them and they're just saying, you know, we're dying. This is quite clear. But however you look at all of that, you can also realize that this is the ultimate Maya. I mean, this is the ultimate illusion that we are, you know, we've poisoned ourselves beyond remedy. However, it fails to take into account how wonderfully powerful our Earth is. Our Earth is going to live and survive long after we're here, if indeed the world is poisoned and dying, because it's just going to regenerate and take care of itself, because that's what it does. Whether we can still sustain our grip on it, that has a lot to do with what is our disillusionment. Oh, we weren't able to control the Earth and make it do what we wanted to. So how do we actually move that so that we're more in a place where we're co-creating and working in a way that is less dependent on thoughts that seem to be reality? And because it's in Aquarius, Aquarius is about thinking beyond, you know, looking at the thing in a way that's beyond, but it's also about working with humanity. And because we're very isolated in many ways, we pull ourselves apart, you know, a sense of separateness. We also have to come together, and what are we really afraid of? Maybe we're more afraid of working together than coming to the ultimate doom. So I think the full moon is a wonderful opportunity to look at that and say, okay, what is it I could do as an individual that is a way of taking a move or doing something that is stepping into something I'm really afraid of doing, so that I'm able to shake it up and maybe change from a place of being disappointed to putting myself in a position that I never dared to be in, and finding myself at another side of this.
Yeah, that's what you need to do. I mean, like you said, the pursuit of joy, pleasure, excitement is all great, but if it's become like a Chicken Little is running around the plate bank, getting inebriated on that, we obviously will come to a point of disillusion, as all highs, whether alcohol or drug-induced, always end up. So we've got to get beyond that and use the Aquarian, you know, the strength of the Aquarian, you know, dynamic energy to break through the illusions of just seeing what the, you know, the doom and gloom, which is obviously what is happening on certainly on levels you know, education, government, finance. Most big institutions, as you pointed out initially, that's what's happening. But you know, there's more to life than that, and every those doom and gloomsters are completely forgetting the spiritual dimension of life. And that's like you know, they're running around the chicken coop, berating the, you know, the 10% of consciousness that they have, when the whole game is to transcend that, and which is, you know, our only salvation at this particular time, is to, you know, turn our Aquarian instincts and minds to up to the starlight, and you know, infuse ourselves with you know, a little bit of divinity to you know, get hold of the real reality of what's what life is about.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. It'd be a beautiful thing.
I mean, as individuals, we could do that. It's, you know, but it's
right.
tough when people, you know, proffer that, that's their choice.
Yeah, yeah, and again, they are the people who put themselves in this position of governing bodies and talking heads and making those kinds of decisions. But there are people who are putting up mirrors and creating different realities. So it's important to ask for more revelations and more confirmations of those kinds of people instead of the negative piece that is just so constant and continual. And I actually haven't done any work on it yet, but I have been interested in hearing it. The whole crash and burn piece about Rupert Murdoch and the paper in London, which seems to be having some reverberation because, of course, he owns a lot of other publications, including Fox News here in the United States. So people are getting very excited, thinking that this could be a whole house of cards that falls apart. Whether or not that's true, I don't know. But I do know that it's just interesting to see all this happen at this time when Mercury is in the shadow and we are entering into this very, this month of August that's going to have a lot to do with reevaluating different things. I don't think Fox News is going to go away or publications that really don't seem to have a lot of integrity behind them. However, I do find it I find it engaging that yet another man of stature and power, seemingly untouchable, is falling. When you think in about a year and a half ago, when Madoff fell and crumpled, it's more. You see these people who seem to be in many ways untouchable, as though they have all this power, and you see them fall. And that's very Pluto in Capricorn.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was thinking, too. Very Plutonian.
Yeah, very Pluto in Capricorn.
Can't stop Pluto.
Yeah, yeah. And just with this period in time that is about reevaluating, and when you asked me to look at the U.S. chart, and I realized that Mercury is retrograde in the U.S. chart as well. So I don't think it's going to get rid of yellow journalism at all, but I do see this kind of period of people looking and saying, okay, well, look at this, and what about this, and this happened here, and so it'll be a month at least of a lot of hard questioning of what that's all about. But with Mercury retrograde, it'll be gossip, innuendo, a lot of things that can't be validated. And then getting into September, it'll be more of a period of, I don't know if I'd use the word clarity, but just things falling more into the place where they're going to be for a while. So any questions?
No, I was just thinking of Rupert Murdoch. I think the yellow journalism will probably stay, but it's the hacking into people's...
Oh, yeah. Where do we put the line? I mean,
paying off the cops, you know, for this and that. So it's just the, you know, the way they go about their business has got to change. I mean, it's like Goldman Sachs. Right now, they were responsible basically for the whole economic, probably the most, a large part of the economic demise of the world. And right now, they're largely limited in their trading practices and the leverage that they can have. So it'll be the same thing with people like Murdoch. They won't be able to get away with a lot of the tactics that they were using, which is basically a good thing. But
yeah, that's true. Yeah. And I don't know. With the Jupiter retrograde, I'm just also thinking that and what you said about the checks on these speculations, I think that there'll be more of a tightening of that too, because one of the things that I have heard is that in spite of all the things that happen, some of these institutions really are not.
Oh, for sure. Even Goldman Sachs. I mean, it's like just the tip of the iceberg. They haven't really, they never came to roost with that, with the essential problems. And they haven't addressed it yet, as they haven't addressed the mortgage issues, and they haven't addressed the fundamental cause of the whole problem.
And then these CEOs or CFOs or whatever the heck they are who get paid these huge, like, multi-million-dollar bonuses every year, and stockholders have to look at that and say, wait a minute, and that's back to what I was saying at the beginning about how we think that the market has a certain amount of integrity to it, and, people...
It's like a den of thieves, really.
Yeah, but you invest, and... you invest in a company, and that company gives you a little pittance, and you're happy to have it, whatever it may be. But meanwhile, these people are paying themselves off these huge amounts of money. Which, why is it going to that guy up on top? Why is that happening? Did he take the risk? Was he one of the stockholders who put his money?
That whole thing was so horrible. They risk, and when they win, and when they lose, it's the taxpayer who pays, and that's been going on for forever, and it still hasn't been addressed. And to me, it's like the greatest embarrassment of all is that we were the ones that created these instruments, these mortgage-backed securities that had no reality, and all this leverage, and sold them to Europeans and all over the world, and so we really are directly responsible for the demise that's happening in Europe right now. But nobody points that out. I mean, it's very kind, I think, of the Europeans. I don't know why they don't, it's like our fault.
Right, right. It's all this big mucky thing that everybody feels like they've got, it was all pieces of the pie and creating whatever.
Oh yeah.
But
I mean, when you're in it, it's like business as usual, and it's like everybody's making money, but at what price? And it's and we see what the price is right now. It's enormous.
The first thing we've got to do is
recognize that, and it's been so frustrating. And you don't agree with me on the war issue, but I think all the expenses that we've been paying for these, having our troops all over the world.
I don't agree with you on that.
Well, I don't know. You mentioned something about the other day when I mentioned that. I don't know. Maybe you do agree.
What, that you think that I think we should be in all these wars?
Well, I hope so. Hopefully you're not, but I thought that you might have thought that way when I said something about that the last time you
called. Oh, no, no. I don't think we... Well, that's a long conversation.
That's another thing. Right, right, right.
I am so not an advocate of most of our military involved.
Oh, God. It's horrible.
And I take great offense at the way that, especially our last president, Bush, made all these one reason we're in this terrible position are the wars he created, but also, I suppose Afghanistan, but, certainly we never, I will say this to anyone, I don't think we ever should have gone into Iraq. The worst part is that all these men and women who have been serving, then he was the one who took away veterans' benefits, and these people come back. Acknowledging the people who were killed, but not only that the people who were killed. This, because of our technology, our medical technology, and our ways of having them in this different kind of body armor, what happens is they lose limbs, and they lose, they come back in this position where they have to be medically supported in order to survive, and then we aren't necessarily giving them the benefits to do that, nor are we finding them any job placement.
Right.
So they're back and they're losing homes. It's crazy.
It is crazy. It's
That's
so
how
crazy. I never prayed so much in my life. When our ships were poised outside of, wherever they were right before they went into Iraq, and I said, "Oh my God,
what an absolute."
But at that time, I talked to a lot of people, and respectable citizens of America. And I didn't find one person who agreed with me. Yes, we should have a presence in our... they all thought that was... What the hell? So, of course, I didn't talk to you, but...
I want to put the recording off, but...
Oh, excuse me about...
No, that's all right. I'm going to end the recording. We'll chat a little more. Okay.